3 o'clock crowd. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN, getting ready for game number two, World Series at Globe Life Field right here in Arlington, Texas. For people that that didn't hear earlier in the show, describe the experience a little bit of being there. It's weird, right? I am in an auxiliary press box, which is outdoors, which I'm happy about. I've got a good seat looking down at home plate. So high up, but from behind home plate, which is great. There are fans there. All the fans were wearing their masks inside the ballpark last night, and they were all Dodger fans. I saw one Rays fan.
Okay,
one
so you
older
say
guy.
That there's only 11,000 people there. So if you were to yell something, like if you were to yell something at Kershaw from where you were sitting, would he have heard you?
Loud and clear.
Come on, Crenshaw.
Loud and clear.
Okay. So
come on, Crenshaw.
It's very much more like a minor league game in terms of atmosphere.
Yeah. I mean, I heard them talking up how big the crowd effect was. It's not big. Inside there, it's like a little league game. It does not feel like a really large crowd is there. A lot of Dodger fans. And Clayton Kershaw did get a standing ovation for his performance and Mookie Betts and all those guys people were excited about. But it doesn't feel like a real game, even with 20,000 or whatever it is, 15,000 fans, I guess, that is there. What it did is it cooled me off a little bit on the idea of fans at SoFi Stadium. I mean, it's great for the fans who are inside the building, but if you're not inside, if only 20,000 people are getting in, it doesn't feel like it's a real game if you're a fan there. I don't think if you asked a fan, hey, does this feel like a regular baseball game? They would say no. They would say, I can hear my own cheers. I'm cheering Dodger Blue and I can hear myself over the crowd. So it's a weird vibe. There is not as many press covering this World Series. The press box is pretty limited. Lindsay asked, what about food? Are they doing food in the press box? The answer to that is no.
Are they doing are they doing food in the stands? Did you notice?
They are doing food in the stadium. There is food in the stadium, but not in the press box. There's only, you can grab candy and you can grab bags of chips and you can grab a bottled water, and that is it. Normally, they get a really nice spread at the World Series. No World Series spread this year. It's just there are extraordinary circumstances. And I did see Beto last night, who's doing a good job for Channel 2, and I saw Steve Futterman, who is a legendary Dodgers hater. I've watched many Dodger games. Somehow, I always wind up near Steve Futterman in the auxiliary press box because that's where the cool kids go. And Steve Futterman last night was openly rooting for the Rays. And finally, I had to send him away. I said, you take your little CBS microphone and you go somewhere else because you're going to jinx my team. So Futterman left. And I mean, ultimately, it was a really, really good night. It is a really cool experience. It's really exciting for me because, John, you know how cautious I've been about COVID.
Right. So, no, I'm glad you're out there and I'm glad you're taking it in. Did you ever feel, even in the seventh inning when Dylan Floro came in, that the game was in jeopardy? Or once the Dodger offense exploded, did you think it was over?
Yeah, once we put an eight on the board, I felt like the game was over. And that was the one bad inning that the Dodgers had. It was obviously Dylan Floro. The combination of Dylan Floro and Victor Gonzalez didn't help us much. But Pedro Baez looked good last night. Pedro Baez is the one high leverage guy that got used last night. Everybody else, and probably even Baez, should be available for tonight, a bullpen game where we're going to see the Dodgers stretch out that pitching staff and see exactly how deep we are.
Right. And Tony Gonsolin's starting tonight, but after Gonsolin, it'll be interesting to see who David Roberts goes to and in what order. And the reason that's significant is he's got to protect somebody for game four. So basically, there's going to be a night off tomorrow night. I guess we could call that the Thursday night football / presidential debate night off. And then the series resumes Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Now, Friday night, Walker Buehler is going to pitch for the Dodgers against Charlie Morton for the Rays. Saturday, it gets interesting. for the Dodgers, because they could start Dustin May. They could start Julio Urias. They could start any of these dudes. But they won't have a Clayton Kershaw or a Walker Buehler available to start game four. And so how Dave Roberts kind of uses pitchers tonight is going to be critical setting up for Saturday night's game.
Yeah, he says he told the press today that he's willing to use Urias tonight if it's going to make a difference in the game. He wants to win a game, but you would think he would hold back one or the other, either Dustin May or Julio Urias for Saturday game four. That's Saturday game four. Yeah. By the way, John, you know, our friend Adrian Garcia Marquez is calling games. Did you know that?
I did not.
He's calling it for.
He's going to owe me money, or he's going to owe me tequila, because I bet him that both the Rams and Raiders would win more games than the Chargers. So I appear well on my way to winning that bet. But I'm glad he's calling the World Series. You know, Adrian's a former minor league baseball player.
Yeah, calling the World Series for Fox Deportes. And here is his call of last night's Cody Bellinger home run.
Cody Bellinger, dominado en su primer turno, el envío. Bellinger la prende, vuela la pelota, vuela la pelota, va y pelota. Le pago unas vacaciones a Doña Blanca por todo el derecho central. Su cuarto bambinazo de la postemporada. Get in my belly. Otra vez, Cody Bellinger.
Love it. He pulled a fat bastard reference.
Get in my belly.
Get in my belly.
Bye bye pelota.
Awesome. What else did he say, George?
He said bye bye pelota. He called the ball Mrs. White, Doña Blanca, Mrs. Okay. White. So he paid a vacation for Mrs. White out to, you know, home run.
Yeah,
Adrian
could make a library reading contest sound exciting.
Yeah, no, he sounds really good. The Spanish calls are always fun to listen to because I try to translate them in my head. And, you know, on that one, I was able to translate Cody Bellinger, bye, and pelota. Those were the three things I can translate from that conversation.
Did you guys hear?
Get in my belly.
Did you hear
too?
Bambinazo? You know what that means?
No,
bambinazo.
Bambino, home run, bambinazo.
All right, play it again. George, play it again. Play it one more time.
Okay.
All right, this is... Adrian Garcia.
Bellinger, dominado en su primer turno, el envío. Bellinger la prende, vuela la pelota, va y pelota. Le pago unas vacaciones a Doña Blanca por todo el derecho central. Su cuarto bambinazo de la postemporada. Get in my belly. Otra vez, Cody Bellinger.
That is awesome. It's a great call. It's a great call. Way to go, Adrian.
I understand half of it, and I loved it. That was awesome.
Yeah, no, it's just fun. It's fun. Yeah. All right, so we've got the game tonight. By the way, our game is being done by Dan Schulman, along with Chris Singleton and Jess Mendoza, who are doing a great job, along with Buster Olney, too, with some insight. Here's something weird that Buster passed along last night that actually is a little bit creepy. Tyler Glasnow has got a tattoo.
Okay.
It is on the inside of his lower lip, and it says juice.
Okay. Well, you know.
You know, think about how painful that must have been to get that tattoo on the inside of your lower lip. Ow, man.
Yeah, Glasnow is from Valencia, and he went to Hart High School.
Yes.
Which has produced a ton of baseball players, including, remember Todd Zeal, who played for the Dodgers?
Oh, yeah, Todd Zeal.
He came out
great
of Hart.
Player.
Trevor Bauer came out of Hart. And Tyler Glasnow, they got a good baseball program up there. I would assume he probably grew up at least watching the Dodgers. I don't know if he's a Dodger fan. But he had a chance to shut him down. He'll pitch again. I thought they left him in a little too long. He threw more pitches last night than he's thrown in any game all season. Kevin Cash must have liked the matchups. But when the Dodgers kind of came alive in the fifth inning, I thought Glasnow outstayed his welcome by probably two or three hitters, didn't you?
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, that's too many pitches, especially if you're hoping to go to the guy later in the series. That's an awful lot of pitches to throw. The fifth inning, you mentioned the fifth inning last night. Just a great moment for Mookie Betts as the Dodgers play some small ball. Isn't this one of the big criticisms that Dodger fans have? What about small ball? When are we going to play some small ball? So Mookie walked, stole second. Then came the double steal on a Justin Turner strikeout, Betts Seager running on contact. And then an example of Mookie putting stress on Glasnow, Max Muncy chops a ball into the infield, and going on contact was Mookie Betts, and he scored at the plate. That is a pure Mookie run. Single, stolen base, and then running on contact and scoring the run. He is an unbelievably special player. He is one of those guys, John, that I never realized how good he was until I saw him play a lot of games. Like, I knew he was good, but now that we're seeing him day in and day out, wow, defensively, at the plate, he makes people work. On the base paths, he's a great base runner. I mean, he is just an elite player in this league.
Well, he affects the game in so many different ways. And what you just said is what I always say about LeBron. I knew LeBron was an unbelievable basketball player, one of the greatest players of all time, but I didn't know how good he was until I started calling his games, until the last 2 years, when I see all the different ways he affects the game and he makes everybody else better. Basically, anything hit to right field, this guy runs down.
Right.
If it's in front of him, he'll dive and catch it. If it's over his head, he'll leap over the wall and catch it. And he's got a hose, so he's got a great arm, so you can't run on him. And then if he gets on the bases, it's just, you know, he wreaks havoc on these guys.
Yeah, he really does.
And I don't know if there was another Dodger who would have scored on that play you were describing last night. I think Betts is the only one fast enough to get there.
Completely agree. Completely agree.
I think Betts made it happen.
Do you think if the Dodgers win this series, the fact that I'm here changes my legacy?
100%. Well, I've always told you, I don't believe in the Mason curse. I know it's a thing because a lot of fans are more superstitious than we are. And they point out that you were at the Rams Super Bowl. You were at there when the LAFC got eliminated last year. And you were at all the World Series games when the Dodgers lost to both the Astros and the Red Sox, so they think that you're Schleprock, that there's this cloud over your head when you go to all these games. Number one, I don't think you have that much power.
Oh, I'm so powerful.
And even if you did, I would need more proof than this. But I have said, if the Dodgers don't win this series, Mace, I'm buying into the curse. But I do not believe the Dodgers will blow this series. I think
Then I become the opposite. I become a good luck charm. I should go to every game from this point forward.
Yeah, but everybody knows you're too lazy to go to every game.
Hey, can I just point something out? This is just totally aside and nothing. You know, I am here. I have a press pass, right?
Right.
So I'm press.
Yeah, but you're there on your own dime.
I'm here on my own dime.
The station's not paying for you.
I'm here as a Dodger fan. I wanted to be here. I want to be here when they win it all.
Wait, I thought you're there courtesy of Coors Light.
Oh, Coors Light, yeah. They are. Coors Light is sponsoring, but I paid. but
there's
a
difference,
Lindsay.
Thank you
to the good people of Coors Light. I want to kind of put this out there on the phones a little bit. So there are multiple things that happened last night. One, Clayton Kershaw left the game after six innings. How did you feel about that decision by Dave Roberts? Do you feel like the Dodgers have this series in hand? Do you feel like this is a series that they're going to win? How many games do you think it's going to go now that we've had a chance to see the Rays? 877-710-ESPN. That's 877-710-ESPN. By the way, if you're a Dave Roberts hater, and there are lots of them out there, are you going to withdraw your apology? Or are you going to make an apology if the Dodgers win this series? 877-710-ESPN. Mason in Ireland, 710-ESPN. And standing by is Shosh with traffic. Hey, Shosh.
Let's go to a Burbank crash taking away the right lane 5 northbound before Western Avenue. Traffic jam from Los Feliz Boulevard. Also in Palmdale, as I was waiting to talk to you guys, crash in the center divider. 14 northbound right before Avenue N. Traffic jam from 10th Street. This report sponsored by ZQL Pure Z's. You have to be up in 5 hours, 2 hours, and you haven't slept. Vicks ZQL Pure Z's is a drug-free blend of botanicals with an optimal dose of melatonin that helps you fall asleep naturally and wake up with no next day grogginess. ZQL Pure Z's, naturally superior sleep. I'm Shoshana, 710 ESPN.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to JetsPizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Back by Glass now with a first pitch swing and a high fly ball. Right center field. It is well hit. Kiermaier back. It's gone. He hit it into the Dodger bullpen. And Cody Bellinger has given the Dodgers a 2-0 lead.
Dan Schulman with the call for ESPN Radio. That's what you heard right here on 710 ESPN last night. And Dan will be doing the game again tonight. 5 o'clock is first pitch, or just after 5 o'clock. And the Dodgers looking to go up 2-0. Developing story. The Las Vegas Raiders have sent all 5 starting offensive linemen home as part of coronavirus contact tracing after right tackle Trent Brown was placed on the reserve COVID-19 list with a positive test. The Raiders held practice today without their starting 5 as they prepare for Sunday's home game against Tampa. That means who knows? That's what that means. It means who knows. And it means that you may have to do some juggling on your fantasy football teams. I had to do that last week. It's something we've had to get used to this year. But you may, if you've got Tom Brady, you got to keep an eye on this game. If you've got Derek Carr, if you've got Josh Jacobs, if you've got Chris Godwin, any of those guys, you're going to have to keep an eye on this game and see exactly where the story goes. But as of this moment, the entire Raiders offensive line has been sidelined.
And you wonder, let's say they bring in the backups, can they run the ball and protect Derek Carr even if they do play?
So completely, right, should they have to go without their starting offensive line?
I think so. I think that if they're able to isolate what, you know, who has COVID and everybody else tests negative, I think you got to try and play the game.
I mean, if everybody else tests negative aside from Trent Brown, you can obviously play the game without Trent Brown. It's the rest of the offensive linemen that make a difference. If they test negative, then the Raiders probably have no issues. They probably need 2 negative tests to be able to play this week. But we can hope for that. The COVID has been, I would say, would you say who handled it better? Obviously, the NBA handled it best, COVID. Who handled it better?
NHL handled the best.
Who handled it better, NFL or Major League Baseball?
Well, MLB had to cancel a lot more games than the NFL did. But the NFL was the last one to start. They had the benefit of time and seeing how everyone else did it.
Yep.
I've been pretty impressed with the Major League Baseball bubble, the one you're in right now. I think that they've done a pretty good job. I think that it's very difficult for me to criticize any of the major sports. You know, maybe college football is the one that kind of looks a little hacky because, you know, half
a little hacky. I love that.
Yeah, because half the teams are playing and the other half aren't. But I think in general, the pro sports leagues all did a pretty good job, don't you?
I think they did a great job. I think MLB, after a couple of outbreaks early, including the one with St. Louis and the one with Miami, has done really well. The NFL, you know, it's going to be an issue all year long. We're going to see games moved. We're going to see bye week shifted. We're going to see maybe an extra week to the season, an 18th week before we actually go to the playoffs. We may see those things in order to make up games. But I think under the circumstances, and given that the game of football is about eliminating social distance and eliminating it really fast, I think the league has done a reasonably good job with handling COVID.
All right, we're taking calls about the World Series. That's where Mason is, in Arlington. Game 2 tonight, you can hear it on 710 ESPN. Here's George in Upland. Hey, George, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Hey, guys. So I have seats to tickets to Game 5, and the way the Dodgers executed last night has made me so nervous that I'm even going to get to see Game 5. I mean, they played so well.
I don't know anyone in the media, at least. I'm sure there are fans. But I haven't seen anyone in the media predicting a sweep.
No.
I mean, there's a lot of people at our station that are saying Dodgers in 5. I think LZ saying Dodgers in 5. Travis saying Dodgers in 5. I'm saying Dodgers in 5. Sedano's
got Dodgers in 6.
I think Mason's
Dodgers in 7.
Yeah, I think Mason's the only one that's got to go in 7. I think you're safe with tickets to Game 5. Now, when would that would be Sunday, George?
That would be Sunday. Yeah, we're flying in Saturday morning, and then we'll be around the stadium to watch the game four, and then we'll be inside for game five.
Okay,
Sunday
so
night.
Here's the hard question. All right, let's say on Friday night the Dodgers win to go up 3-0. Do you get on the plane Saturday morning?
Yeah. I played this scenario out with my family because we're all going. And, yeah, there's no way because if we don't get on that plane Saturday morning and they end up losing game four, I won't live with myself. So no matter what, we're going to be.
Well, the other thing you could do now in this day and age of secondary ticketing, or you could just go to Arlington, there's a chance that if they go up 3-0, that all of the Rays fans that made the trip will be looking to unload their tickets. But Mace, you say you didn't see very many Rays fans last night.
There weren't many Rays fans. And by the way, I saw no ticket scalpers. Maybe they're really strict on scalping here. So
I think it all happens on the internet. I think it all happens.
Yeah, StubHub and places like that.
I do know that ticket scalpers in most places, you're not allowed on the actual premises of the ballpark. So you have to meet them. Like I remember in 2016 when the Indians were in the World Series, there were tons of scalpers. As soon as you got to like the threshold of where the ballpark property begins and ends, there was tons of guys waiting out there. But if you went on property, they'd arrest you.
Okay, so that may be it too.
Yeah.
But I think you could probably solve your problem over the internet. Good luck, George. Yeah. I hope you get to go.
Yeah, I think there's going to be at least a game five. I think there's going to be at least – the way I see the series going is Dodgers win tonight to go up 2-0, Rays win game three, and maybe I am leaning towards – maybe I am leaning towards six now. And you guys
you
may be
five
right.
Five by the end of the week.
You guys are right. It may be five.
Cake! Let there be cake! Thank you, George.
Oh, God.
Here is Gerardo in Compton. Hey, Gerardo, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Sure.
Hey, I just want to say that I think the Dodgers organization is doing a great job top to bottom. I love the mathematics that they're using to put the lineup out there. And I think Dave Roberts is the best man for the job. And the people that want to get him fired, it really doesn't matter who's in there because he's getting the lineup card from a bunch of smart guys that are sitting in a room and figuring it out. So I just want them to continue using their numbers to the best of their ability.
Right, okay. Thank you, Gerard. And by the way, anybody suggesting Dave Roberts should be fired is an idiot.
Yeah. And by the way, the other thing is if people think Dave Roberts is not part of developing the lineup and so far, the lineup has been basically the same every game for the most part, the bare bones. Occasionally you'll see Peterson in against a right hander and Pollock in against a left hander. But I mean, for the most part, I really believe Dave Roberts is part of those decisions. I know you don't, John.
I think he's being told what to do.
Yeah, and you don't think he has a say.
In the starting lineup, I do not.
See, I think he does. Hmm. Although, you know, I could make out the starting lineup day to day. It's the same.
Right.
It's the same lineup day after day with one switch with the Pollock for Peterson.
Just the game has changed. Like, remember, I heard somebody say the other day that Terry Bradshaw in the 70s called his own plays. Can you imagine an NFL quarterback now calling his own plays? It would never happen. The managers don't set the lineups. The front office does. But I think Dave Roberts does make the in-game decisions.
Yeah, no question. Again, with a script that was developed by him and Andrew Friedman, and as that guy said, all the smart guys in the room using their mathematics.
Yep.
All right. Thanks very much for the phone call. Coming up next, Jeff Passan is going to join us. We will play back his song about Randy Arozarena, which is... it's really on the edge of embarrassing. It's right on the edge of embarrassing. And I think we should see if we can get Passan to come up with a Dodger song to sing. That's all coming up for you next. I'm live in Arlington. John's back in LA. Game two of the World Series is tonight. And we've got the game for you at 5 o'clock. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. 710 ESPN, Mason in Ireland, joining us right now. I'm in Arlington, by the way. John is back in LA. We're getting ready for World Series game number two. I was in the auxiliary press box. Joining us right now is somebody who was in the main press box at last night's game, the great Jeff Passan from ESPN. Jeff, how you doing?
What's up, Mace? How are you?
We are good, Jeff. And I want to applaud you for single-handedly bringing back the Macarena, a song that we all thought was long dead and buried. For people who have no idea what I'm talking about, this was Jeff Passan on Pablo Torre's podcast talking about Randy Arozarena, the star of the Tampa Bay Rays. Hit it, Jorge.
There's a guy who hits his name Randy Arozarena. Every time he takes a swing, it is a thing, it's cosa buena. Running around the bases, he's as fast as a hyena. Arozarena. Aye!
Jeff.
So, excellent.
Guys, I'm really sorry.
What prompted that, Jeff?
Sorry, you have nothing to be sorry for. That was excellent. That's the type of sports radio crap that keeps Mason and I in the air for 25 years, Passan. It was beautiful.
I got to be honest. I'm so glad you guys didn't ask me to do it live here, because I was going to say absolutely not. Like, I'm in the middle of a press box. I can't do
right.
that.
No,
like,
no, no, Jeff, we are not going to ask you to do it live, but we are going to ask you, if you are so willing, that before the end of the series, you come up with a Dodgers equivalent. It doesn't have to be to the Macarena. It can be if you want it to.
You can pick another obscure old school song.
We were trying to think of other obscure songs like Who Let the Dogs Out, Too Sexy by Right Said Fred. We got, you know, but
Andy McCullough texted me earlier today. He's like, so today are you going to come out with a Limp Bizkit Nookie?
Yes, that's great.
That is an excellent idea. We will leave it up to the creative mind of Jeff Passan. The challenge has been extended, Jeff, that if the Dodgers play as well as they did last night, the chances are they will be at the top of the pop culture chain, and you can deliver an equally great song like you did for the Macarena. What do you think?
I say the truth is I probably am never going to deliver anything equally as great as that. I think I peaked in my career with that song, and it is all downhill from here. So I'm not going to make any promises, but I will noodle
think
on
about
it.
It.
How about that?
Perfect.
Yeah, noodle on it.
Perfect.
Arozarena.
Aye. Perfect. All right. So Jeff, tell me if you agree about my assessment of game two. I think Tampa almost has to win this game the way it is set up. They have Blake Snell, arguably their most experienced pitcher. I know you could make an argument for Charlie Morton, but Blake Snell's the guy that's been kind of leading that pitching staff for the past few years down there. The Dodgers are almost going the opposite way, throwing a bullpen game. After as a convincing of a win as the Dodgers had last night, I think this is a critical game for Tampa. Not must win, obviously, but pretty close. What do you think?
I don't think you could have put it much better. I don't like calling games must-win games, and I especially don't like doing that after an ALCS in which the Rays nearly blew a 3-0 lead, in which the Dodgers came back from a 3-1 deficit. But the way that things line up, with Walker Buehler starting game three for the Dodgers, with game four looking like it's either going to be Ryan Yarbrough on short rest and or a bullpen game for the Rays, it feels like game two is as close to a must-win as you can get. And, look, the Rays have a lot of work to do because their lineup is exactly the sort that Blake Snell will struggle against. His whole thing throughout his career, you know, he has incredible stuff from the left side. He's amazingly talented, but he can get his pitch count up there a little bit too high for anyone's liking. And the Dodgers, as we've seen, grind out at bats. We saw it with Kike Hernandez homering on the eighth pitch to tie the game in the NLCS. We saw it with Cody Bellinger homering on the eighth pitch to go ahead in the NLCS. And what the Dodgers do and what they're so good at is the exact sort of thing that can really disrupt a guy like Blake Snell. And the fact that they've got, you know, to me, the Dodgers are at their best when they're facing left-handed pitching because they've got so many guys who do so well against left-handers. Like, he's facing, if not the A lineup for the Dodgers tonight, then at least the A-minus lineup.
Yeah, and of course, the Dodgers, 900 OPS against lefties during this playoffs, and 11 of their 20 home runs have come off of lefties during the playoffs. So what did you make of Dave Roberts' decision to pull Clayton Kershaw when he did last night?
I thought that it was brilliant. I thought that Dave Roberts, between how he handled Game 7 and how he handled Clayton Kershaw in Game 1, is showing a capacity, a willingness, and an ability to grow as a manager. I have been critical of Dave Roberts in the past, and I think those criticisms were warranted. I would like to lavish praise on him for how he's handled the last two games, because old Dave Roberts, I think, would have looked down at his bullpen. He would have seen Julio Urias pitch the seventh as well as he did and said, kid, you did a great job. We're going to go to our old war horses now. And he would have given Kershaw the eighth and Jansen the ninth. He did not do that. He didn't fall into the trap that I think he has in the past, because he has so much trust and he has so much confidence in guys when they might not warrant it quite as much as they used to when they were in their absolute elite primes. And last night I thought was a perfect example of that too.
You guys go Jeff, let me ask a follow-up to that. You know, there is a lot of debate.
Can I quickly make a? I hate.
Oh, sure, please.
I think there's an important point to make about Clayton Kershaw's playoff struggles. If you go back and look, Clayton Kershaw 13 times has gone into the seventh inning. Six of those times he escaped unscathed. Seven of those times he gave up runs. Of those seven times he gave up runs, he gave up 18 of them in the seventh inning.
Wow.
If you give up those 18, or excuse me, if you take those 18 runs away from his postseason ERA, all of a sudden Clayton Kershaw's postseason career ERA is 3.33. Looks a lot better than it is right now. And so the idea that Dave Roberts understood, even though Kershaw's at only 78 pitches, even though he's generated swings and misses on 19 of the 38 swings that the Rays took against him last night, we're not going to press our luck. And in that, I think, I don't know if that was the decision that won them the game, because when he took them out, they were up 8-1. But it certainly did a really good job of keeping Clayton Kershaw's slate clean and giving him an excellent postseason start.
Okay, let me ask a follow-up on the Dave Roberts thing. So Dave Roberts, you say he's growing as a manager. Does that mean that his relationship with Andrew Friedman has changed, or is Andrew Friedman growing as a president of baseball ops and helping Dave Roberts to decide, make these decisions?
You know, I don't know the exact nature of the conversations that have been had between those two, so I wouldn't want to speculate on something like that. But one thing I am pretty clear about, and I think everyone knows this at this point, is that the Dodgers front office has a lot of input on decisions like this. And when you are Dave Roberts and you have made mistakes in the past that end up biting your team, you have a choice. You can either look back. It's the same choice all of us have in life. We either look back on our mistakes, own them, and resolve to do better, or we keep making the same mistakes again because we're stubborn. And I think Dave Roberts has had some stubbornness throughout his career, but this is a different time. This is a different moment. This is a different year. And what he's done over the last two games, I don't know if it's directly a function of Andrew Friedman's input or Dave Roberts' own recognition of where he has failed in the past and where he wants to succeed going forward. But I try to be a very process-oriented person, and it's the sort of thing that behooves me in life. It's the sort of thing that has behooved the Tampa Bay Rays, who are as process-oriented an organization as there is. And, you know, it's cliche at this point, but when the process gets you somewhere, you trust it. And the process right here says you get Clayton Kershaw out of the game, and you go to your bullpen, even if there are some guys in there who you might not, in your mind, trust as much as you do Kershaw, but the numbers may say otherwise.
Jeff, last thing for me. When you look at tonight's game, it's kind of, there's a game within the game here. The Dodgers need to figure out who's going to start game four on Saturday. Because of that, they're going to pitch Gonsolin, hope he does well. But do you think they have to hold back Dustin May or Julio Urias to pitch on Saturday? Or is it all hands on deck tonight for game two?
I think it's all hands on deck until it doesn't need to be anymore, and that's going to be where the offense comes into play. If the Dodgers can put up a couple of crooked numbers in early innings, that gives Roberts a whole lot of leeway as how he deploys his pitchers. And I think idealistically, yeah, you would save one of those guys to start game four, but you also recognize that you're 81 outs from a championship. And right. if that means getting those outs right now, if there's an urgency involved and you feel like it's a winnable game, you use all three of them tonight. You figure out game four when game four comes around.
Last thing for me, Jeff. I'm going to give you a hypothetical. Game is 6-5, Dodgers out in front of Tampa tonight. We go to the top of the ninth inning. Who's on the mound for the Dodgers?
I don't think there's any doubt that it's Kenley Jansen at this point. You know, his velo ticked up a little bit in his last outing. And yep. Listen, he didn't look like prime Kenley Jansen, but listening to what Dave Roberts says, Kenley Jansen's his closer, and he's going to go with him in a close game. And, you know, that may be the sort of thing that in the end comes back to bite him. I think there's a good argument to be made that Bruce Arcaro-Rolla is your guy in that situation. But I also want to know, at that point, where is the lineup? Like, are we looking at a Rays lineup that's got 2-3-4 or 3-4-5 up, or are those guys up in the previous inning? Because I think that sort of thing matters, you know. If you can put Gratterol against the best hitters in the eighth inning, that's absolutely something you do and something where I'm comfortable with Jansen then coming in the ninth. I personally want Gratterol facing the best of what the Rays have to offer.
All right. Hey, listen, Jeff, thank you. We cannot wait to hear your Dodgers song. We are really, really excited about it.
Come on, Jeff. Come up big. Why not? It's the World Series. It's a pandemic year. Give it a shot.
I have a job, guys. Good Lord. I mean, I'll try.
Thank you. That's all we can ask.
Let's put it this way. Before the end of the year, how does that sound?
Fair enough. We'll take whatever we can get.
If that's reasonable. And if you have, listen, if you have a song that you want me to do it to, you got my number. Text me and let me know, and I'll see what I can come up with.
We will go to work, Jeff. Fair enough. We appreciate your willingness to
Thanks,
try.
Jeff.
That was always a pleasure. Take care.
Okay. Right. See you later tonight.
Rosarena.
Feel free to come to the auxiliary press box. That's where all the cool kids are hanging.
I don't know. Why would you want to slum with you losers?
All right. Coming up next for you is Game of Games. Is it Lindsay's game today?
Yeah. Lindsay, yes. Are you ready? Okay, good.
I'm ready.
And standing by right now for traffic is our friend Shosh. And is Shosh there? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So we need an old 80s song. What do you think? I'm Too Sexy, Right Said Fred. Who Let the Dogs Out? Baja Boys. What's a Macarena equivalent?
Well, I don't think songs work. They really don't work. But, oh, gosh, I don't like either of those. But I'm Too Sexy.
Mambo Number 5.
Mambo Number 5 should be great. Yeah.
Okay, I like that one better than the other ones. Go with that one.
All right, Mace, we'll go to work on that one.
Yeah, do that one. Hey, I'm going to go to the OC because we've got big problems down in Tustin. The 5 northbound right at Red Hill Avenue. Sig alert stalled. Big rig taking away that right lane. Traffic is stop and go from Sand Canyon Avenue. This report sponsored by ZQL Pure Z's. You have to be up in 5 hours, 2 hours, and you haven't slept. Vic ZQL Pure Z's is a drug-free blend of botanicals with an optimal dose of melatonin that helps you fall asleep naturally and wake up with no next day grogginess. ZQL Pure Z's, naturally superior sleep. I'm Shoshana, 710 ESPN.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
PN.
All right, it is Game of Game Times, Mason and Ireland show, and I'm live in Arlington getting ready for World Series Game 2. I'll be there tonight. John's there in L.A. He will be the official ESPN Los Angeles Twitter guy tonight, so you can follow at ESPN Los Angeles to find out what John Ireland thinks about what's going on. It is Lindsay's game today, and by the way, it's gotten tight in October. Ireland with 5, Lindsay with 4, me with 4, just one out of the lead, and Jorge with 3. It is Lindsay's game today. Lindsay, what do you got?
All right, guys, we're going to play a game of which cost more tickets version with, okay. You know, World Series going on, high ticket costs. I've got 5 of them, and then 6 if we need a tiebreaker. So here we
go.
First one is Chicago Cubs versus Cleveland Indians, Game 7 of the 2016 World Series. Or Boston Red Sox versus St. Louis Cardinals, Game 6 of the 2013 World Series. That was one where they're trying to break their 95-year drought. Which one cost more, John?
Cubs-Indians.
Okay. Mace?
Cubs-Indians.
Jorge?
Yeah, Cubs-Indians.
All right, you guys are all correct. Those cost $1.17 million for the highest ticket sold in that one, whereas the highest ticket for the other Red Sox Cardinals series was $12,000. All right, number two. Cleveland Cavaliers versus Golden State Warriors, game one of the 2017 finals, or Lakers Celtics, game seven of the 2010 finals. Which one cost more? Mace.
Lakers Celtics.
Okay. Jorge?
Yeah, I'm going with Mace. Lakers Celtics.
And John?
Cavs Warriors.
John is the only one who got that one correct. Ah. They were close. Cavs Warriors was $133,000 for the highest ticket, and Lakers Celtics was $115,000.
All Who the hell plays $130,000 to go to a game?
I don't
somebody
know.
With money to burn.
Yeah, somebody with a lot of money. All right, number three. Floyd Mayweather versus Conor McGregor, that boxing MMA match in 2017. Match. Yeah, that was a weird one. Or Floyd Mayweather versus Manny Pacquiao 2 in 2015. Which one cost more, Jorge?
Pacquiao Mayweather 2.
Okay, John?
I'm with Jorge. Pacquiao Mayweather.
And I'm the same. Pacquiao Mayweather.
You guys all got that one wrong. Quite a difference there. The Mayweather-McGregor fight, the highest ticket was $205,000, whereas Mayweather's Pacquiao 2 was $31,000. All right, so John.
Okay, so it's Ireland 3, won. Jorge 2, me 2.
No, John is 2. Steve has 1, and Jorge has 1.
And this is number 4.
This is number 4. Germany versus Argentina, World Cup finals in 2014, or Andy Murray versus Novak Djokovic in Wimbledon men's final 2013. Which one costs more? Mace.
Repeat the first one.
Germany versus Argentina, World Cup finals in 2014.
I'm going to go World Cup finals.
Okay. Jorge?
I'm going to go with tennis.
Okay. And John?
I'm with Mace. World Cup finals.
All right. Jorge got that one right. $65,000 for Murray versus Djokovic. And $27,000 for the World Cup Finals in 2014.
So what's the score now, Lindsay?
John 2, Jorge 2, and Mace, you have 1. This is number 5.
So you need this to stay alive, Mace.
Yep. All right. London Olympics opening ceremony 2012 or the 2013 Masters. Jason Day had the lead heading into the final round. We're going to start with Jorge.
Olympics open.
Okay. And John?
I'm going to go Masters.
And Mace?
I am going to go Olympics Open.
John got that one right. $5,000 for the 2013 Masters ticket and only $4,000 for the Olympics opening ceremony in 2012. So John wins that one.
I needed that.
3-2 for Jorge, 1 for Mace.
All right.
Ireland now 6 for the month.
Yeah, 6-4, 4-3. All right, now, Mace, are you getting out of here so you can go to the game?
Yeah, I will make it just in time if I leave right now. So complete coverage of game number 2, World Series, Blake Snell versus Tony Gonsolin, Dodgers versus Rays. And by the way, we'll have the game for you tonight at 5. And then Travis Rogers is doing a post-game show tonight after the game. And I'll call in with Travis and we'll talk about the game afterwards. So that's it for me today. Enjoy World Series game number 2. Coming up next for you is Crosstalk. John, George, and LZ. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Wow.
It's about time that we made him the former Dodgers expert. All he does is complain about Pedro Baez, who was excellent last night.
I know. Listen, and John, before I ask you about what it's like to unseat the former Dodgers expert, Greg Bergman, I'd like to say you're listening to KSBN Los Angeles.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
Yeah, I snuck that one in right before the deadline.
With surgical precision. Yeah. I love that.
No, he did. No, the rule is we give you a 30-second grace period, and you got it in with like 10 seconds before the time.
Right.
That was excellent.
I got it in right when the legal ID is supposed to start playing. Right, exactly.
You've got from 3:59:45 to 4, any time after 4.
Yeah.
But
you were
perfect. Congrats off to you.
I did sneak it in. Thank you. So what does it feel like to unseat former Dodgers expert Greg Bergman and now be Dodgers expert John Ireland today on the ESPN Los Angeles Twitter account?
I don't know if you heard about this, George, but yesterday before the game, I tried to guess Clayton Kershaw's line.
I did. Mason tweeted it out. Yeah.
So I guessed Kershaw would go 7 innings, give up 5 hits, 1 run, 8 strikeouts, 7-5-1-8. His actual line was 6 innings, so he's off by 1, 2 hits, off by a couple. But I got the run, and the strikeouts exactly right. One run, eight strikeouts. I almost won both showcases. So, George, I feel a little bit of pressure in that Bergman delivered a victory mm-hmm. when he was the took over the right. ESPN LA.
Well, but wait. He did deliver a victory. However, he was also part of the expertise that put the Dodgers down 3-1, and it wasn't until he relinquished that expertise that they came back to win the series.
Yeah, he's he tends to go to the sky is falling theory pretty early.
And he tweets way too much.
Yeah, here's my thing. I think this game tonight is going to be insanely close.
Okay.
LZ, don't you think Tampa has to win this game? They have Blake Snell, their big money pitcher going. The Dodgers are throwing a bullpen game. They're starting Tony Gonsolin. They got boat race last night. If they fall behind 2-0, that puts the series in a headlock. Isn't this game critical for Tampa?
I mean, it certainly would be nice for Tampa and those who are Tampa fans that if they did win, but I don't know how, John, I can say that they'll be in a headlock after the Dodgers themselves were down 3-1 and now they find themselves in the World Series. So if anything this year has taught us, whether it's the NBA or Major League Baseball, that don't be deceived by an early deficit in a series.
Pay no attention to that man behind the curtain.
None whatsoever.
Yeah.
None whatsoever. I remember, I think I was actually talking to Sedano when Utah went up 3-1 against Utah, and I was like going, man, I didn't think Denver was going to fall out like that. Well, guess what? They didn't. And so I'm just going to stay focused. I do believe that the Dodgers are going to win today. I am not discouraged by a bullpen game because I saw what happened the last time we had a bullpen game. So all I will say is this, John. Don't count your chickens before they hatch, but you should at least preheat the oven.
Ooh.
That's an interesting way to put it. George, I picked Dodgers in 5. This is the one I'm the most worried about. I think this game sets up for the Rays.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think if there's a game for them to win, it's got to be this one. As you mentioned, Blake Snell is their best pitcher. He's the 2018 AL Cy Young Award winner. Like, they expect him to be really good. And by the way, they need him to go deep into this game because they got rocked, as you mentioned, yesterday. And, you know, Tyler Glass not only went 4 1/3. And, yeah, they need him in a big way. And, look, it did feel like once Kershaw was out, they finally got their bats rolling, which had been a struggle for them. Really not just in that game, but has been a struggle at times throughout the postseason. They've had timely hits, but they haven't had an onslaught of offense.
You know, for me, there were moments in watching that team that felt as if they were happy to be there.
Yeah, sure.
And I wonder if that was a one-time game one jittery sort of thing, and mm-hmm. now they're ready to actually be competitive. But mm-hmm. I just felt that overall, the energy for them, especially once we started scoring, was that we're happy to be in the World Series. But, you know, they didn't really, to me, look as if they were angry about the deficit or that fired up about the mini rally.
I was thinking about watching Mookie Betts play every aspect of that game, affected on the base pass, affected defensively, hit a home run. I mean, the guy is just, he really is a one-man wrecking crew. And tell me if I'm kind of guilty of being captured by the moment here. But guys, we were all born in the 60s and 70s. Has there been a worst trade from the Red Sox perspective in the history of sports since we've been alive? I mean, there have been trades that have been forced, like Kareem forced to trade.
Wait. I mean, in baseball, I can give you one. Miguel Cabrera going to the Detroit Tigers for what ended up being Andrew Miller and Cameron Maben. Like, come on. That was probably one of the worst deals I've ever seen.
But that was a salary dump. The Red Sox you look at as a have, don't you, rather than a have not? I mean, that was the Marlins basically doing a fire sale. Like, in my lifetime, my baseball trade was the Dodgers trading Mike Piazza. I thought that was incredibly stupid. You had the greatest hitting catcher of my lifetime, and you had him signed to a contract, and the Dodgers refused to pay him, and they traded him, and now he won't even speak to the Dodgers. He's going into the Hall of Fame as a New York Met. But this, I think, is worse. Mookie Betts was 27. He had helped you win a World Series in 2018, so you know you could build a team around him, and they let him walk over money. George, the one trade that popped into my head was when Oklahoma City cut bait on James Harden. I thought that was really stupid. because they didn't want to pay him. But this is
so far so good.
Yeah, this is. LZ, can you think of a dumber move by a front office than trading a 27-year-old Mookie Betts?
Yes.
What is
and it's very painful that you have to bring this memory up, John. And when I see you, I'm going to say ha-puh to you.
What did I forget?
My Detroit Tigers actually had John Smoltz.
Oh, they traded for Doyle Alexander.
And we traded him.
Okay.
LZ, we traded John
Smoltz. Completely
yeah.
disagree.
Yeah.
Because as soon as you traded for Doyle Alexander, the Tigers won the 84 World Series.
It's not because of him.
But wait a minute. It helped. He pitched in that series.
I mean, Jack Morris was incredible, right?
It was. Seriously, man, it wasn't because of him.
Yeah.
But if you get a title out of it, isn't it a little easier to swallow?
Don't you think that that title was coming regardless?
I don't know. Well, Kirk Gibson.
Morris was pitching like 20 innings a game.
I just think if you win a title, then that's different. But the Red Sox had just won a title with Betts. And then they traded.
And by the way, that wasn't the 84 World Series, John. It was 87. They traded for him in 87, where the Tigers lost the ALCS to the Twins. So it wasn't the year they won the World Series.
Yeah, I thought they traded. I thought that was in the 84.
Hold on, 87.
Let me check. Okay. Let me check.
No, I'm looking at it right here on Baseball Reference.
Okay,
August 12th, 1987.
Yeah, they were going for it, and then they didn't make it back.
He was good, but they didn't win.
And we had John Smoltz.
Right.
Like, so I don't care if you win one chip or not. John Smoltz is one of the greatest pitchers to ever pick up a baseball.
Right. 20 years. Right. 200 wins, 150 saves. Like, incredible. Yes.
So, yeah. I mean, so to me personally, that feels worse only because I have the benefit of hindsight.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll give you one. I'll give you one in the NBA. Basically, now he wasn't the general manager who pulled the trigger on this. He was the assistant general manager. But our buddy Bobby Marks and the Nets trading their entire future, 17,000 drafts
for the 0-3
for KG and Paul Pierce, who were old at that time, and got they lost in five to LeBron, Wade, and Bosch in the second round.
Right. But you couldn't tell by the way they talk on the podcast and stuff.
Oh, the Celtics guys, you're saying?
Celtics guys, yeah.
They feel like they think. I'd say this to these guys all the time, to Paul and to Kendrick Perkins. I'm like, I love you guys, but you guys talk about that team like you were the, you were LeBron, Wade, and Bosh, or like the three-peat Shaq and Kobe teams.
Yeah, they got one title.
You got one title.
Hey, before we get out of here, since both you guys know Stan Van Gundy a little bit, George, you first. What'd you think of Stan getting the New Orleans job?
I like it because Stan has always been a great coach. I think where Stan got into a little trouble, like a lot of coaches do in sports, is when they try to do two jobs at the same time. And I think that that's really hard to do, okay? Pat Riley has told me over the years that it really is a conflict of interest sometimes to do both jobs. And we've seen Doc Rivers, right, had to step back. We've seen a lot of guys historically have to do it. And Stan's a good coach. He got a team with Dwight Howard and a bunch of, like, pretty good players to the NBA Finals and beating LeBron on the way in five games. He was a good coach with the Heat, too, before that. And look, he got the Pistons to the playoffs when nobody could get the Pistons to the playoffs for a little while. So the coaching aspect, I think, is good. And I think that he will set a culture there. Mm-hmm. And they need that there. They need someone that can kind of be a little bit of a hard ass occasionally.
What do you think, LZ?
I think it's perfect because of the age of the stars on that team. Particularly when it comes to Zion, because Stan, more than anything else, prepares young players to be NBA players.
Yeah.
And J.J. Redick and I are buddies, and one of the things that he talks about, you know, his time with Stan Van Gundy, because remember, he was a hot shot, you know, shooter coming out of Duke, but Stan made him a player, and I bet if it wasn't for his time with Stan Van Gundy, he would not still be in the NBA today. All these years later.
Well, to your point, LZ, one of the biggest advocates for Stan to even get an interview was J.J. Redick to David Griffin. And look where we're at.
Here we go.
Yeah, came full circle. Hey, George, what do you got coming up in the Hour of Power here?
So in the Hour of Power, we got big, sexy stats about Clayton Kershaw
sexy
and
as
Mookie
hell.
Betts. I mean, so sexy. I mean, it's like a striptease.
It's so sexy. Even Tubin's like going, hey.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Whoa.
And then, of course, we're going to take a look at tonight's game. We've got some interesting theories as to what's happening here, and we will talk about some of those theories coming up in the next hour.
All right, so that's coming up next. First, a little bit of traffic. Shosh is with
John.
Us. Shoshana,
thank
how
you.
Are you?
Thank you, Mr. Ireland. I'm doing good on this Wednesday, but it's busy out there, man. A lot of cars on the road. I'm going to go to Sherman Oaks this time, 405 northbound, right before Valley Vista and Sepulveda Boulevard crash, taking away that left lane traffic. It is real slow from the 10. This report sponsored by ZQL Pure Z's. You have to be up in 5 hours, 2 hours, and you haven't slept. Vic ZQL Pure Z's is a drug-free blend of botanicals with an optimal dose of melatonin that helps you fall asleep naturally and wake up with no next day grogginess. ZQL Pure Z's, naturally superior sleep. I'm Carrie K, 710 ESPN.